today on Real Radio.
And the moment we begin to say, I don't understand the book of Revelation, to anyone who has read their Bible from cover to cover, you immediately and I immediately indict myself, because you will never understand the book of Revelation until you have mastered the Old Testament. It's a fact.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How a Church Ought to Go, Part 2, continues in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, with verses 13 through 18. The Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. There is a lot of confusion happening in the believer's mind these days about Christ coming for the church and the second coming. Paul tells us to comfort one another regarding Christ's return. It'll be a glorious event that we need to be ready for, but the second coming will bring judgment to those who are left behind. Today, Pastor Jack explains why the church will not go through the Great Tribulation. He'll take us through numerous scriptures from the Bible dedicated to the Lord delivering His followers from the troubles to come. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In the book of 1 Thessalonians, we are in chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 like we were last week, but this is in fact part 2 of the message about the rapture, how a church ought to go. And if you understand anything about the Bible, we do want to be raptured. We're going to be taking an approach this morning that is extremely controversial yet unnecessary. It's unnecessary for it to be controversial, but yet it's spoken about. You can get books out of these topics in libraries, and Christians, in fact, even in the congregation of this church, there's been close to 1,500 people here today, and you may have tons of various opinions. But what does the Bible say concerning what we're learning in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 about the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church? We're going to read through those verses again just to set our feet back into the solid ground where we left last week, and then go into an area that we're going to be giving you this morning, really, seven reasons why the church will not go through the Great Tribulation period. In fact, for that matter, let me state it correctly. Let's be theologically correct. Seven reasons why the church will not go through the tribulation. The Bible teaches about a seven-year tribulation period. That once it begins, it will culminate. It won't be 2 years and then the remaining years, and won't be three and then the remaining and so on. Once it begins, a seven-year period of time will be ticked off and established and completed that will fulfill an ancient prophecy that we know, everyone listening to this, we know for certain that is absolutely accurate without fail. I don't even care this morning if you are a non-believer. I don't care how big of a skeptic or pessimist or, what's another word? Whatever. I don't care where you're coming from. This is a fact. How do you like this? The fact of the matter is, God told the nation Israel in the book of Daniel, He said, I'm going to deal with you guys in a 490-year segment of time. And so God began to deal with them. And He said, oh, by the way, along the way, so you'll know where you're at one interval, Nehemiah is going to get a commandment to go forth and restore and rebuild Jerusalem. At another interval, there's going to be an execution of a prince, but not just any prince. It will be the Messiah, the prince. And he will be killed for being your Messiah to the nation Israel. And by the way, that will happen at the end of the 483rd year of this 490 years that I've determined for you. And you can sit back and say, well, I'm a skeptic. Well, you shouldn't be, because according to history and according to archaeology and according to the facts, each of those events took place exactly as it was prophesied. Every one of them. It's not open up for speculation, people. You can't do it. It's a fact. But I said 483 years, and 490 years was applied to Israel. There's a remaining seven-year period of time. And if you read the book of Daniel, you'll find out that it is strictly Jewish It just so happens that it is revealed to us in detail in a book called the Book of Revelation. A book that a lot of people shy away from because it's rather confusing and difficult to understand. And the moment we begin to say, I don't understand the Book of Revelation, to anyone who has read their Bible from cover to cover, you immediately and I immediately indict myself because you will never understand the Book of Revelation until you have mastered the Old Testament. It's a fact. In fact, some scholars, and in fact, in prophetic scenarios, it's called eschatology, the study of end times, you cannot understand the Book of Revelation until you've studied Genesis to Malachi. Because the Book of Revelation is the end of the prophetic revelation of the Old Testament to the Jewish people. When you open up that book and you begin to look at the Book of Revelation and try to figure out what this all means, you need to pay attention to your cross-references on your study Bible. They will point you more than any other New Testament book back to the Old Testament. It's the only way you'll understand it. And so we do well as students to do that in our personal reading. But there's a lot of confusion concerning these end time events and this thing called the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Are you aware this morning that the rapture is mutually exclusive from the second coming? That they are two totally different events? Are you aware that one is a great blessing and the other one is a great, great advent of wrath and judgment upon the earth? One is the receiving and taking away, we looked at it last week in detail, of the church to himself. The other one is the return of Jesus Christ with his church to the earth. One is an actual coming, that is the second coming, and the rapture is in fact an appearance, not a coming. So why is there confusion? I got to tell you, a brother I love, and I'll have a chance to be with him this week, a great guy, written quite a few books. In his book this week, I opened it up, and this is what he said. A lot of people are excited about the rapture of the church, and we need to be ready. So in the next few moments, let's get in and study the second coming. And in his sentence, he violated what so many people do, but yet it has caused so many people to be confused about. The second coming is not the rapture. They are at least, what is it, a quarter to noon? They're at least 7 years apart from this moment. At least. And we'll prove this as we go through the study today. I've got to warn you right now, and I mean this. If you don't have a tummy for Bible, if you don't have an appetite today or a discipline to maybe get into it, then either come back next week or some other time or catch a nap. Or maybe you can just go somewhere else and catch a burger or something. I don't know what to tell you. We are going to get into some 35 verses this morning going through the scripture. Today is just going to be an absolute schoolroom kind of day. And the reason why we're going to do this is because we opened the can of worms regarding the rapture last week. And now you need to know why you can expect the return of Jesus Christ at any time. And so we are going to punch out from our normal way of study this morning and get into the academics concerning the return of Jesus Christ for the church. We're going to look at seven things. There was 50 of them, and I trimmed it. Really, there's 50 of them. I trimmed it down to seven. And even still, we've gone a little bit over in each service. Why don't you grab your Bible, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, where Paul says to us there, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died believing in Jesus Christ, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then instantly, momentarily afterwards, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the word rapture in Latin, or hapazo in Greek. It means to be violently removed together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18 is critical to our study today. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter is the rapture is to be a comforting thought for us. In fact, as we get into this study, I mean this sincerely. I don't want to take an edge off of this at all. If at any moment the thought of Jesus Christ and his imminent return frightens you, you don't feel ready inside in your heart, please do not disregard that warning. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. God Almighty is telling you right now that if Jesus returns by the end of this message, and he could, are you ready? And if you sense in your heart that you're not ready, you can't quite put your finger on it, but you know that you're not right with God, then people, you need to this morning say, even in the message, oh God, help me, and I want to receive you now. That's all you need to do. And then we'll tell you in the end of this message how to close the deal with him. This is such a critical and serious time. The Bible teaches, we saw it last week, the doctrine of the imminent return of Christ. And Jesus himself warns us over and over and over again, you watch, you be ready, you be waiting. All of those words. To watch means to scan the horizon for his coming. To be ready speaks about personal holiness in your mind and in your outward actions. It means to pull up the robe and to tie it around your waist. That's how they ran in those days. Men wore long gowns like a muumuu today. Do they call them muumuus anymore? My mom was born and raised in Hawaii. We called them muumuus. Is it a muumuu or what? Okay. Nobody in here would admit that they had a muumuu. So you take your muumuu and you pull that baby up and you run when you have to. But that's called being ready in the scripture. That's the word that's used in the Greek. And you would tie it up and you'd be ready. What was the other word? Wait. Watch. Ready. Wait. The word wait means to be prepared in such a way that you're planning for the future because you have to, but at any moment, you're expecting his imminent interruption. You're ready to go. Your gown is up and you're walking right. And you're living in such a way that if he came back, you would be ready to meet him. And the Bible teaches, Jesus said himself concerning his imminent return. So the title of the message again this morning is Rapture, How a Church Ought to Go. And we'll get into the details concerning seven facts that will show us that the church will not see the Great Tribulation Period. Isn't that good news? We're not going to go through the Tribulation Period. Now, what's amazing to me, and I used to be one of them, is I used to be a post-tribulationist. That means I put the rapture at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. I thought the church would go through this great time of trouble. And I used to pull out verses and argue with people about why it's so, but all of the while having to spiritualize and struggle with certain verses. And the fact of the matter is, if you read the Bible, listen, all of us want to be guilty of this, of reading the Bible literally, interpreting it literally. If you do that, if you want to do that, and you should do it, by the way, all of the prophecies of the Bible have been fulfilled literally. Not one of them have been fulfilled symbolically. That's a big point. An interesting thing is this. If you are going to view the Bible literally, you are this morning expecting the return of Jesus Christ instantly, imminently, at any time, could be any moment. If that's true, you want to know what you are? You are a premillennial, pre-tribulational futurist. That is, he could come at any moment. Yeah, like that's an easier definition, isn't it? Come at any moment. Do you believe that? Well, listen, this morning as we go through this, I want you to hang on and get your pen ready and write down these scriptures. Number one reason why the church will not see the tribulation period is because, are you ready? Is because it's the church. Jot it down. It's not Jewish. The seven-year tribulation period is Jewish in context, Jewish in teaching, Jewish in symbols, Jewish in word, Jewish. The book of Revelation that covers it in great detail reveals it to us in Jewish idioms and in Jewish wordings. Jesus himself Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 15. Jesus said, concerning this period of time, he says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that is when the Antichrist stands in the temple of God in Jerusalem and declares himself to be God. By the way, the Bible tells us when that will happen. Jesus says, when you see that happening, whoever reads this better understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. People, do you live in Judea? No, you don't. Interesting. Listen carefully. Those who live in Judea, Jesus says, you better run. He also says, let those who are on top of their housetops, don't take anything out of their house but run. Do you live on top of your house? No. They do in Judea, right on top of the house, just flat like this. They camp out there. Flat roofs. It's Jewish. Listen to this. But woe to those who are pregnant in those days and nursing babies. Well, that's strange. Why do you say that for? Have you ever seen a nursing mother try to run? He says, let him who's out in the field not go back. Isn't it interesting that Israel today is the third in the world today in agricultural production? A little tiny place like that? Very agrarian, very, very agricultural they are. Jesus says also, pray that your flight is not in winter, your escape is not in winter, and pray that it's not on the Sabbath. Are you concerned about the Sabbath day? Any of you? You're Jewish. I mean, they're Jewish. You're not Jewish. A Jewish believer or a Jewish person is concerned about the Sabbath, and when they turn on CNN, you know, what's his name said this week, that he's responsible for the Cold War being over? Did you hear that? Ted Turner, CNN guy, right? He said, CNN's responsible for the Cold War being over. Well, first of all, it's not over. And the other thing is, he's not responsible for it. That guy's a megalomania kind of person. You notice that? Have you ever seen that guy? Well, probably CNN, something like it's going to carry the abomination of desolation. It says the entire world will see him from Jerusalem, make this declaration that he's God. 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation period, the Antichrist will stand in the temple and declare himself to be God. Well, who is this guy? Well, he initiates a peace treaty. And the peace treaty contract is to be binding for 7 years, according to the Bible. By the way, some people argue about this. There shouldn't be any argument at all. When does the tribulation begin? Some people say at the point of the rapture. You can't find that in your Bible. The Bible says that the tribulation begins the day the Antichrist signs the peace treaty. It's for 7 years. And in the middle of the 7 years, he breaks that treaty, 3.5 years into the deal. He reneges on his commitment. He stands in the temple and he says, I am God, worship me. And the whole world says, four out. Let's do it. Can you believe this? I can, because I've seen Shirley MacLaine on her TV show stand there and say, I'm God. Did you see her in Malibu stand on the shore? I'm God. Say it one more. She goes, say it 10 times. I'm God. I'm God. Shirley MacLaine's been saying it for years. The Antichrist is going to say, I'm God. And the New Age people are going to say, far out, we are too. This is great. And in that moment, the Jewish brother in Israel will flee. Oh, my goodness, what has happened? And they'll run. And Jesus says, you better pray it's not on the Sabbath, because your conscience, you're going to be torn between what you ought to do. And secondly, try to get transportation from anybody who's Jewish on a Sabbath day. You're not going anywhere, pal. The elevators in Israel, in the Hilton, they don't even work on the Sabbath. You can't do it. It's work. Got to take the stairs. They don't heat anything up. They'll heat it up on Friday and wrap it up in foil and give it to you on Saturday, because they can't create a flame on Saturday. It's work. Jesus says, you better pray when this time comes that it's not on the Sabbath, because you're so caught up in the keeping of the law, you're going to struggle with it. And you're going to have a hard time leaving the area anyway. And the Bible tells us where they're going to go. They're going to go to Jordan, by the way, which they just signed a peace treaty with, interestingly enough. And the Bible says Jordan will protect them. In a place called Petros, the rocky, craggy hideout that God has provided for them. You can take a tour there, by the way. The reason why the church will not go through the tribulation period is because it is of Jewish context. The church will be out of the world and, in fact, in heaven during the tribulation period. And it has to be so, and we're going to be looking at reasons why that's the case. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. It is Jewish. Jeremiah 30, verse 7 says, "Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." The time of Jacob's trouble is a reference, if you read it in its context in Jeremiah 30, to the Great Tribulation period, otherwise known as the Tribulation of Israel, the time of Jacob's trouble. Remember what Jacob's name was changed to? Israel, the time of Jacob's trouble. A reference to Israel again. Jeremiah 30, verse 11. The tribulation period is for the nation Israel and the unbelieving Gentile world, but not for the church. Jeremiah 30, 11. God says, "For I am with you, saith the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of the nations where I have scattered you, I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in justice, and I will let you not go altogether unpunished." The seven-year tribulation period is a time of God dealing with Israel and her rebellion. The Bible says so in numerous places. So we need to understand this, people. You cannot have the church and Israel on the earth at the same time, because in fact, God is focusing on the nation Israel fulfilling the last seven-year period of the 490 years that was promised to Israel in the Old Testament. Now, I just said a mouthful, and you're going to need to get the tape to study that carefully. It is excluding the church, and we'll see why as we keep going on this. Joel chapter 3, verse 12. Again, Jewish, concerning the tribulation period of time. "Let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat." You want to know another name of the valley of Jehoshaphat? It's got a nickname. It's got a couple names, Valley of Jehoshaphat. It's got a name called Valley of Megiddo. When you go there today, that's the Megiddo Valley. And it's also can be pronounced, are you ready for this? The valley of not so much Megiddo. You could say the valley, and the word is Armageddon. It is the place where the last final world battle will take place. It is also known in the Old Testament as the Valley of Jehoshaphat. "For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come down, for the winepress is full and the vats are overflowing. For their wickedness is great." Who is? Who is? The nations of the world. "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." This sounds, now listen, this next verse sounds like Matthew 24. "The sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish in their brightness. For the Lord also will roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth shall be shaken, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and a strength to his children Israel."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called "How a Church Ought to Go." Thanks so much for listening today, and please be encouraged. The pain and sorrows of this world are only temporary when you give your life over to the Lord. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And by the way, did you know that you can get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet? That's real easy to do. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you can point and you can click and find that app for your smartphone or tablet. But there's an easier way to do it. Just go to the App Store and look for the Real Life app. Let's say you're sitting in the doctor's office, you're at the Registry of Motor Vehicles or something along those lines, and you've got plenty of time to kill. Well, I'll tell you what, a great way to spend that time would be with the Real Life app. Check out what's going on here at Real Radio. And listen, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love the videos that he does. There's a whole video section. We've got radio section, the devotional section. There's a section right there at our website. Look for the Real Life app. Direct yourself to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Point and click. Get exactly what you need. Get that Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.